there, wildling. Welcome to the Tea and Tombstones podcast. Here, we discuss topics in relation to the wild spirit, and we are rewriting the themes of wellness to include the spectrum of hallowed ground we claim within ourselves and the haunted ground we conquer with reverence and honor. My name is Ashley, the creator and wolf child of Tea and Tombstones. With tarot cards in my hands and a howl in my throat, I welcome you here. Hello there, my wild spirits. I hope you are well wherever you are, that you're warm, that you're well, that you're feeling into your vibrant wildness and feeling into the space that you're taking up right now. Thank you for letting me into your day at this time for you. I'm ready and excited to be talking about the monthly cards and the monthly energies for March. Can't believe it's March already. But this month we're working with the Ten of Pentacles from the Ostara Tarot and the Elephant from the Wild Unknown Animal Spirit deck. I will have the picture up on my Instagram so you can kind of see the pictures of the cards. Our affirmation for March is, I trust in myself. I trust in the universe. And as always, I'm just so in awe and just so amazed at how the energies really kind of come in right at a time when we need them. And I feel that this is a great time to be focusing on new beginnings and on allowing this threshold to open and expand. So grab your tea, settle in, whatever you gotta do. Let's go ahead and start talking about these cards, these energies, and this affirmation. So starting with the Ten of Pentacles, the image, if I'm being fully honest, no disrespect to the artist from this personal deck, but the image from this specific deck, the Ostara Tarot and the Ten of Pentacles, is not my favorite. It's just not one that I really connect with. I can see a little bit of where some of the connections are of between old and new embodiment with this father octopus and then all of these little children that are half children, half octopus there. I don't know. It's a little weird. So some of the references that I'm going to be speaking about, I've actually pulled from other cards, and I will have some of those pictured as well on my Instagram. So you can see some of the other images that I have that I kind of lean to in my deck more than this one. Again, no disrespect to the artist at all. I love the Ostara Tarot deck, but some images you just don't vibe with, and this is one for me. Again, we see here this big octopus, and he has like these glasses, and then there's all these little like children octopi. Is that like the plural for octopus? I don't know. Hang on, let's find out. So it is octopi. I just had to clear that up. But so we see all these like little children octopi playing with their father. And that's really meant, at least from my interpretation and from the way I work with this card, is a reference between what has come before, what has processed and journeyed into progression, and what is now in this new level of embodiment. We can also see this with images like from the Hush Tarot, which is one of my favorite Ten of Pentacles images, where this girl is sitting on this bridge, and below, in the space where that bridge is carved out, that arch, there's this beautiful flower. The Herb Crafter's Tarot is referenced through horsetail, which is a relative of an ancient herb. So we see a lot of this natural narrative being portrayed in the images of this old embodiment giving way into new embodiment. And that is exactly what the Ten of Pentacles invites from us. The Ten of Pentacles says that by embracing a new path and embracing a new layered embodiment, that comes when we take a moment to really look at where we have come from. So with this girl sitting on this bridge and underneath there's this big, beautiful, blooming flower, it's being able to see that flower or being able to see the blooms of life from a perspective that we may not have been able to see that in the moment, that it's by taking the time to reflect and look back on this old progression of where we have been that we can see the gifts in that. There can be blooms that we see and experience now that we didn't even know were there when we were in that space. in our lives are this cycle. That's a very natural cycle for us, of this radiating outward and reflecting inward. We live very cyclical lives, and things don't start and stop. It's this progression of old into new, or from layer into layer at all times. And it's important with the Ten of Pentacles, when it comes forward, to not relate that in terms of money. It's important to do that with all of the pentacles, but we often see the Ten of Pentacles with like all these coins falling down, and it's supposed to represent just worldly success. And honestly, what I really see with this card, and what I think it invites us into when we work with the Ten of Pentacles, is that our lives are this cycle of radiating outward with our gifts, with the way we hold space, with our wild spirit, and that it isn't, again, it isn't the start or stop, but it's this moving ripple effect, that we are this constant ripple effect of our own lives, that on the spectrum of the haunted and the hallowed, we grow outward all the time. That can happen even when we don't feel like it's happening. And a lot of times it may not feel like it's happening when any of the tens come forward, but in working with the Ten of Pentacles specifically, it may not feel like this radiating outward. Again, personally, globally right now, there's just a lot of stuff that almost, at least for me, it almost makes me feel like I just want to sit and be still, and I just kind of want to let the darkness kind of roll over me and just kind of curl up and lavish in that. And yet, even in that space, there's still this radiating outward, because there's this ability to let the self be tended, even in that stillness, that speaks to embracing the energies of the Ten of Pentacles, which is finding those blooming experiences from where we have been and where we are now, by taking the time to observe and to really witness that within ourselves, that we are radiating outwards. Even if we don't feel like it, we are in this natural progression of evolving. And sometimes that's out of need. We have to evolve, and maybe that's not always the way we want it to go, but wants and needs on the spectrum of the haunted and hallowed are part of the evolution. And that is part of the gift of the Ten of Pentacles, that this beautiful radiating comes in so many forms. And when we take the time to really connect with the progress and the progression of getting to where we are now, and holding that space wildly, we can see how those different forms of abundance have gifted us so much to get here. And that is one of the key invitations with the Ten of Pentacles. It's not about one worldly success, not about one gift of abundance that you didn't have, now you do, and now you can go into this next phase or cycle of your wild reclamation. The Ten of Pentacles is about embracing and seeing all of the blooms that mark the path that you have walked to get here, or mark the path that you have traveled to get here. And if you were to stop and see how all those blooms mark the path of your progression to this moment, you see and how everything is layered and interconnected. And that's really the gift of the Ten of Pentacles, that it's saying that all of this layering, this webbing, and this interconnection is where the real gifts and the real embodiment lie. This card, when it comes forward, says that we are so much more interwoven into the embodied life force. And that's exactly what all of the pentacles are. It's about this embodied life force, or this moving channel of life from spirit, from the heart, from the brain. And the pentacles are the channel for all of that. So the Ten of Pentacles, it's like an ecology, I should say. When you pull something out of the ecology, if you were to remove an apex predator, if you were to remove something from that living ecology, you see it how the ecology becomes weakened. And you see it how small ways of that living life force start to collapse, or become hindered in some way. The Ten of Pentacles is this fully thriving ecology. It is this fully thriving life force of shared life force. And so when that comes in for us personally, it is saying, how are you contributing to this ecology? Look at all the ways you have contributed to get here. Look at all the ways you have been given the gift to get here. There's this mutual give and take when the Ten of Pentacles comes in. And that is where I think that progression of old to new becomes so apparent, that it's this embodiment of everything that has gotten us here and things that may not have even been apparent in our conscious mind. Things of our ancestors, things of nature, things of stuff happening on the other side of the world contribute to us getting to this point. And that is where the most beautiful parts of the Ten of Pentacles comes in. That from old spaces comes new prosperity. And from old spaces comes new levels of embodying that prosperity for the self and also for that shared abundance that's around us and with us at all times. When we let ourselves be moved into that interconnection and we actually see that and share in that, it allows us to see it how we are part of that ecology. And so there is always room for us to give our gifts, to receive the gifts from others, from all those small and large things. There's always room to make it better. There's always room to begin again in a space of new awareness, new abundance, and new embodiment. And this whole heart of the world would soften from such splendor if we all took a moment to just name the gifts that got us here. There's a beautiful video, on YouTube where Mr. Rogers is getting some kind of award. I don't remember all of the details. But as true to Mr. Rogers fashion as he was, he is so humble in accepting this award, and he asks everyone in the audience to take a moment to, within themselves, say the name of a person who helped get them to this point. And that is such Ten of Pentacles energy. Just this calling and this reflecting, and it's not even reflecting just naming the memory, it's feeling it fully in the body, feeling this gratitude, feeling this prosperous person, or the gifts that this person gave to us to get us here, or the ways that they helped get us here, and we feel that. It's not just something that we call in our mind's eye. It's this lived experience when we return to such sacred spaces like that. And I will have that, I will find it, and I will link it in the show notes, because again, it's just such a beautiful video. Mr. Rogers and the spaces that he held were so lovely, and when I was pulling my notes for this, I just immediately thought of that video. So I will have that linked, because that is Ten of Pentacles energy from a most hallowed place. That when connecting to the past with this ability to see the blooms that we may not have seen at that time, and this ability to stand in the present and call that into that lived experience within the body, and then give that lived experience out into this new cycle, this new evolution, this new step we take. New possibilities are not only possible, but we actively call them in. I think this is why the Ostara image, as much as I've kind of ragged on that, I think this is why it kind of shows these little children octopi babies, because there is this moment where it provides that lived experience of play and of joy and of prosperity and of levity is so profound, and yet it's something that we so often to the sides or shrug to the sides and say, I don't have time for that, or I have so many reasons to be bitter, resentful, angry, sad, scared. And there is that with the Ten of Pentacles. Again, there's no light without the dark. But the Ten of Pentacles, when we call in that lived experience of those blooms, it says that we need to make space for that, because not only do we benefit, others benefit, nature benefits, the world benefits, communities benefit, when we call those lived experiences and we recall the blooms that mark the path that we have traveled, and we say, this is what got me here, and it is what I am going to give out going forward. I am going to give this out because it has given me the gift to get here. And so those new possibilities are being called in actively, and that union and that balance are the ways in which we grow into those new dimensions. We're not trying to reject the darkness or the shadows. We're not trying to be in denial. We're saying that in the path that we have traveled to get here, there has been so many burials, but those burials are what allowed us to really take in the moments of the bloom and just be overwhelmed by the fact that there are still things blooming in life. That is the most sacred form of the Ten of Pentacles, to call in those new possibilities, knowing that the path going forward and that the possibilities going forward are not always going to look the way we want them to. They're not going to go the way we want. And even if they do, there's going to be rejection and heartbreak and sadness and grief, even in the space that we travel to get to those new possibilities. And yet, still calling that path in, because taking all of that, all of those shadows, all of that darkness, all of that death and grief and wounding is what allows us to open even more to the lived experience of being in awe of the blooming moments in our life. It is just such a beautiful invitation. And again, that's the most sacred part of the Ten of Pentacles. The most sacred part of it is saying that we go forward into this new level of ascension, knowing that there's going to be times where we trip, where we fall, where we're bleeding and wounded, and yet we still do that, because when that small bloom comes in and we see that down the road, even if we don't see it in the moment, when we look back, we say, it was worth it to get here. It was worth it to get to this space. And that is so important for our evolution. It's so important for our spirit, and it's such a gift that the world needs right now, for us to actually still find those blooms throughout such burial. I mean, that is truly what the world needs right now. And I would say that the true haunted nature of the Ten of Pentacles, truly the other end of the spectrum of hallowed ground, is to be numb, is to be indifferent, is to not care. And I'm not saying that there are times where that's not needed. There are times where we just kind of need to go through the motions and just be in the space and not have this overwhelming calling in of the blooms in our life. I totally understand that. But to have that be our default, to have this numbness and this disinterested nature of recalling those blooms within our life, and to have that same disinterest with all aspects of our life, I think that's where the true haunted nature of the Ten of Pentacles comes in, because then it's not a lived experience. It's not a witness. It's not a reflection. And it's not a deepening of ourselves from the journey to get us here. It's just go in our day, get out of our day, and repeat, you know, kind of wash, rinse, repeat when we're on that kind of autopilot in life, and that's the default. I think that's where the true haunted nature of the Ten of Pentacles comes in, because then we don't see it how there are still gifts that are in our lives. There are people who have that as their default, and they still don't see the gifts that they have, and so they can't name those blooms. And even if they could, they don't care. And to me, that's such a scary way to be. And there are certain things in life, yes, that, again, with the way a lot of the world is to be able to call in the blooms of our lives and to see the gifts that we have given, that's absolutely a privilege. That's absolutely a gift in and of itself. It's a privilege gift that many are not given. So I understand that. But to have those gifts and to not only not name them, but to just reject them, just kind of push them off to the side as if that's trivial and without merit, and they just are looking for a very specific type of gift, that is where I think that we start to lose that touch of interconnectedness within ourselves, that it's us versus the whole world. And that's so many narratives that we see being played out right now. And in many ways, that's actively celebrated, that it's, you know, it's dog-eat-dog world, and it's just so separate, it's so disconnected, and it's so unattached from all the small little things that make life so beautiful, because it's looking for that one worldly success or for that one pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, when it's like, you have a whole rainbow, like, there's so much spectrum here, there's so much beauty here, and that's still not good enough for some people. And so that's where I think the Ten of Pentacles can really be in that haunted and dark place. And what I find so funny about that is that when I was sitting down to write the notes, I was like, that is actively what some people have written the Ten of Pentacles to be. It's this one gift, this one form of abundance, it's currency, it's money, it's worldly success. And like, even in that narrative, it's taking the Ten of Pentacles into the most haunted place, at least in my opinion, that it's saying, oh, look for that one pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, when in reality, it's like, you're traveling a rainbow. And yeah, there might be some gold in there, cool, but like, who gets to travel a rainbow? That's so amazing. And so I think it's kind of funny that in the standard narrative, for many, not for all, but for many, there's still this standard narrative that the Ten of Pentacles is about rewards and success. And that is where I think that it's still like this separate, disconnected narrative, that it's not about seeing all the little blooms to get to those spaces that open us. It's not about seeing the blooms in our life and calling in the gifts that we've given and that we've given out. It's not the shared connection. It's just, don't care about the rainbow, just give me the gold. And I think that's just no way to be. Like, cherish the rainbows. How often do we get rainbows? And one final thing with the Ten of Pentacles, before moving on to the elephant, is that one of the most beautiful invitations with the Ten of Pentacles, and this is why I love being a tarot reader, because the blooms that mark the path that each of us have traveled to get here are so different and so vibrant and so layered. And that's why I love when I'm sitting with someone and I pull cards like this, because then I get to open the space for them to see how their own gifts have gotten them here and how the gifts that they have been given gotten them here. And it's always different. It is always unique. It's always layered. It's always wild. And that's a gift in and of itself. When I'm in a space like that, that's Ten of Pentacles in full action for me, because I'm able to sit and receive the person or the querent or the seeker talking about this with such reverence and honor. And that's just such a beautiful, beautiful moment for me, because it's me sharing in that and them sharing in the invitations from, it may not even be from the Ten of Pentacles, but that's kind of a Ten of Pentacles space, that it's this sharing of gifts to get here, to get to that seat, to get to that table. And I just love that. And I just kind of wanted to name that, because it's something that fills me with gratitude. And it's always something that allows me, when I feel the Ten of Pentacles to, and when I'm kind of in that energy, it allows me to continue to push forward on the days where I doubt myself, where I'm not trusting of myself and of the universe. And that's why the affirmation, which we'll get to after we discuss the elephant, is so important for this month and for these energies. And I couldn't have thought of a better way to write the affirmation. So, but let's go ahead and move on to the elephant now, which is just as beautiful of a card and just as beautiful in the energies it represents and invites up for us. So again, the elephant comes from the Wild Unknown Animal Spirit deck. And from the guidebook, the keywords are unstoppable,
auspicious, and wise. The guidebook says, the elephant is arguably the most auspicious figure in the deck. Like Ganesh, the elephant represents immense wisdom as well as good fortune. It is said that the great elephant is the destroyer of obstacles, so if this card appears when you feel stuck, rest assured the path will soon become clear. To add to the mystery, the elephant is also known to create obstacles in order to steer us in the right direction. Trust this gentle, noble creature. It illuminates the way with the light of self-knowledge. When in balance, one-pointed focus, generous and loving. When out of balance, misunderstands fate. And to bring into balance is trust. One final layer that comes in working with the elephant or with any of the animals from the animal spirit deck is that each animal within the elements, so there's the element of air, water, fire, earth, and then spirit. And each animal, they don't have any number associations, but instead Kim Kranz has said that she chose the animals for their particular place within the progression of the element in relation to a level of consciousness. So the elephant is the 14th card for the element of fire, and like the whale is the last card for the element of water. And this particular placement helps to layer an understanding in working with these animals and with these invitations. You don't have to do it. She makes it very clear that the invitations from these animals are strong enough to stand on their own if you don't want to add in that layer of consciousness. But I've always found it to be a little helpful. So for instance, the first animal in the suit or the element of air is the moth, and that's because the consciousness, well, sacred, well-treasured, is not the same as the eagle, which is the 14th card in the element of air. I think that Kim's decision to have the elephant be the 14th card for the element of fire is completely spot on, because elephants are not only majestic and beautiful, but they have a very primal or emotional pull on us, don't they? That there is something about elephants that you just cannot help but feel like smiling, or that there's a level of sacredness with them. There's a level of sacredness with so many animals, but the elephant, because they have an awareness of self, they're one of the, if not the only animal to recognize themselves in a mirror. They have empathy. They mourn their dead by touching the trunks, remembering death sites, placing sticks on their dead. They recognize languages. They use tools. I mean, there's so many incredible things about the elephant that it's hard to deny the level of wisdom and the level of ancestral sacredness that they carry. In working with the two cards this month, or in working with the energies and the invitations for this month, I specifically rooted the affirmation and some of the foundational invitations within the elephant. The Ten of Pentacles, well, I should say both cards speak to a level of prosperity, a level of possibility, and to a level of direction, that as we move and rise into this next layer, into this next unfolding, we are doing so with the energies and the situations and the spaces that are around us. It's not just us isolated as we travel through this life. There's so much that contributes or hinders us. And the Ten of Pentacles speaks to this as well. There's actually a lot of similarities, I would say, between the Ten of Pentacles and some of the invitations with the elephant. One of the things that I mentioned with the Ten of Pentacles that I think really connects is that there's this element of cyclical radiating outwards from this internal space within that calls on our gifts. And then with the elephant, that narrative is layered, that's called on this deeper wisdom. We could call that intuition. We could call that the unconscious mind. We could call it so many things. But when the elephant comes forward, I think there is a deep and beautiful invitation to trust in that self-knowledge, to trust that the level of knowing that you have to use to go from that one layer and unfold yourself into the next and to bring that radiating energy in requires a level of trust in the self, and it requires a level of trust in the universe. One of the other things that I mentioned about the Ten of Pentacles is that embracing a new path and that layered embodiment comes from being aware where we have been and where we are standing now, to really let ourselves be directed and to move into that new space with that perspective of the blooms that mark the path that we have traveled. And the elephant comes in regards to stepping into that next layering or that next level of our evolution and traveling this path, knowing that there's going to be wounds, there's going to be darkness, there's going to be setbacks, because the elephant remembers the blooms that we have walked before. It remembers the blooms that come in where we weren't expecting any, and it remembers the blooming, beautiful energy of ourselves moving through the darkness, moving through the obstacle, coming out the other side, and still having that softness within our hearts and within our spirits and within our bodies through those lived experiences, to recall the blooms and to know that they will keep coming. Again, we're actively calling that in. And this is where the elephant has this deeper self-knowledge, this deeper wisdom, and this ability to carve out and cultivate possibilities and that blooming energy, even in the moments that do not feel like that, because there's a level of wisdom that comes from both the spiritual and the physical living experience of walking and traveling that path. So as we move through this month, the elephant comes forward and says, where can you recall blooms that have blessed your path, and where can you carve that out now? This is something that I am really trying to lean into right now, because there are so many times where I turn on my phone or I'm reading the news or I'm on social media and I am just reminded at how many wounds and griefs and traumas and unbearable circumstances there are for so many of us. And one hurt is the hurt of the whole world. And sometimes it is hard to remember how to recall the wisdom and to recall those blooms in our life when everything seems just so doom and gloom. But the elephant says that recalling the blooms now, that is where the possibility of new blooms coming in is even approachable, is even conceivable, is even an appropriate thing to think or to believe in. In order to believe that there is a bloom within all of this space is where that deeper trust comes in. And sometimes we may not even feel that with our conscious mind or with our waking mind. This may come in the form of working with our dreams. It may come in the form of working with intuition. Each of us on this planet have the ability to deepen into our own innate wisdom and into the innate wisdom of the universe. We all have that capability. It becomes lost when we are told to stop having such active imaginations. It becomes lost through capitalistic narratives. It becomes lost through personal wounds, personal traumas that we have gone through, and that detaches us from that innate wisdom. We start to doubt ourselves. We start to doubt our capabilities. And it also comes in the form of communal or global wounds, because to have that innate wisdom with self and universe, it's, again, just take a look around and see how many wounds there are to feel like we're crazy for thinking that there's this innate wisdom in the universe that all of us can tap into. Because if we could, why is it just not beautiful all the time? And this is where trust comes in. This is also where that wisdom and that remembering and that ability to be unstoppable. It's not only there for us because this is the card of the month and this is that umbrella energy or that foundational energy. It's not only there ready for us to use, it needs us. It needs us to tap into our wisdom within ourselves and also to tap into the wisdom within our relationships, with our connection to nature and to imagination and to story and community. It needs all of that, because while one person cannot just go out and change the world, and while things are just fucked up and they're gonna continue to be fucked up, the world needs us to tap into that wisdom, because to do so is to, even if it's just shining a light on a dark wound or on an open wound, it is saying that in this space, I can use my compassion, I can use my rage, I can use my gifts, my resources from the Ten of Pentacles to rise into this next level with a call to merge our selfhood, our personhood, our innate wisdom with self, and merge that with the bigger picture, with a bigger narrative that is really calling us in. And again, this is something that is needed of us. That's where what I mentioned, the haunted elements of the Ten of Pentacles about being numb, being indifferent, that is where the blooming and that wisdom is guillotined off. And we need to give it breath. We need to give it life. We need to tap into our wisdom and our prosperity and our possibilities and be unstoppable. And we also need to trust that through this, there will be blooms, that there will be things that gift us and grant us new possibilities, new beauty, new everything that is just gorgeous in this world. I could go on and on, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm on a soapbox. I maybe do. But I think that these two cards speak to what it means to kind of putting your nose to the grind and doing the work. That we may not want to be connected to the energies that are on the path that we're walking right now. We may not want to connect to the global energies that are there and are apparent in our modern worlds. We may not want to do that. But in order to really use that inner radiating outward and to use that inner wisdom, it requires that we understand and that we trust that where the road opens and where the road is closed is meant to be there, so that we can be guided through this space and into this next layer with purpose, with passion, with discussion of where we've been. We need to be able to speak on that. We need to be able to carry the narrative. And that's what I think brings us together. I think that's what allows us to grow more deep into our own self-knowledge and use that to really connect to others. And I think that that is something that we just really, really need right now. In working with the haunted and the hallowed elements of the elephant, again, she even writes this in the guidebook, Kim Kranz does, that when in balance, we have a one-pointed focus, we're generous, and we're loving. And again, that is where I really try to cultivate that level of understanding that generosity is beautiful in moments that are easy, that are fun, but they're even more important in times of personal or communal or global darkness. Being loving, being compassionate, having an open heart and a willingness to be loving is awesome when things are going great with a partner, with a family member, with a coworker, with nature, or with whatever energy you want to put there. But it's even more needed when it's clear that someone really needs it, or that something really needs it, and we are willing to open that space even a little bit more. And when we're out of balance, it says misunderstands fate, but to me, I think it is more about being resentful, being bitter, or being jealous, getting caught up in this, again, this self versus this I versus other, or creating that disconnect. If we're really working hard to accomplish something and it's not getting done, and we're just like, oh, well, this happened because they have that or I don't have this, that is where I think we can really slip into with energies of the elephant and trusting that our path is what it needs to be and that we are where we need to be. But I think with both of these cards, the haunted element comes in the form of disconnection, comes in the form of not wanting to be connected to energies or invitations that are there that we may not like. Things may not go the way we want. Things may not give us what we thought they would, or we might have expectations that are broken. It could be any sort of things. And when we cultivate that I versus other, or that me versus everything else narrative, we kind of create a divide between everything that could come in because we are not willing to be open and vulnerable. We feel that we have to be that we have to stand alone, that we can't merge and be connected to anything else. And so that's what I would take, but misunderstands fate is what is in the guidebook. So I just wanted to mention that. So I would say that those are the haunted and the hallowed aspects of the elephant. And again, just really trusting. So in working with the elephant this month, I would invite you to just each day write a few things that you want, that you need, that you are trying to get to or trying to accomplish. And at the end of the day, write a few things that happened and see if anything in there connects to what you're trying to put out there. It may not look the way that you were expecting. It may not feel like this was what was given, but that is where we need to be open and to trust that when we call that in, we continue to call it in more. And that is a great reminder when working with this affirmation. This affirmation works with all of the energies that we've been discussing. And again, the affirmation is, I trust in myself. I trust in the universe. And I wrote it this way because when we find that trust in ourselves and we use the foundational energies of the elephant and we reflect on the past path that we have walked and we find those blooms that we didn't know were there before, and we go forward with that knowledge that they're there, that there's new possibilities on the horizon, we have a better place within the seat of self to trust in the universe and trust that what we are putting out is being witnessed by the universe, is being received, and is coming back to us. Again, a great way to work with this affirmation would be to use the list, write a few things that you're trying to put out into the universe, that you're trying to put out from your internal and inner radiating energy, and you're radiating that out into the external physical world, and then reflect on how it has come back to you, reflect on ways that you were surprised. I would also encourage with this affirmation to find a place of patience. This that you're putting out into the universe, the things that are coming from your beautiful inner spirit, it may not come back in this month. That doesn't mean that the universe hasn't received it. That doesn't mean that it's any less or better than. It just means that often when we are working with affirmations, we have to be humble to the fact that the timeline, as we direct that inner radiating outward from our spirit and from our gifts and from ourselves, and we put that out into the physical world, we're giving it away, and we're giving it away in such a space that we no longer control how it comes back to us. There are certain things that we can do to align with it, direct ourselves with it, and to be guided with it, but we can't control if our manifestation comes in this month or next month. So working from a place of patience, I think, is going to be very helpful, because when we come from a place of patience and when we find that patience within us to really trust that even though things are not on our timeline, that they will be returned to us and our manifestations will be made into shapes, they will be made into creation. When we really trust and have patience, that is when the magic of this affirmation can really take root. If we keep trying to force something, direct something, or kind of passively or even aggressively encourage something, we're not letting the organic flow of the magic work. It's almost like when you're doing a spell and you're putting something out there, and then if you keep returning to the spell, or if you keep returning to the ritual because you're trying to find the validation or the evidence that it has been received, you're not allowing that time for it to really be received and to come back in the way that it needs to. And I am completely guilty of this. I am always trying to tell myself to have that patience and to back off of my spells, back off of my rituals, because I don't want to get in my own way. And that's just a very human thing that we do, especially when we're talking about manifesting from our beautiful center and from that place in us that is just wanting to give out, and it comes from this very loving and generous place. It's hard not to get in our own ways from the best of intentions, but still, a little bit of patience can go a long way with this affirmation. One way that I think could be helpful, and any way that you work with this affirmation is beautiful. Again, take it as you need, work with it and mold and make it into something that works for you. But I have been writing this affirmation everywhere. I've been writing it in my journals, in my planner, in my in the whiteboard that I have on my desk, in like on a post-it, putting it on the mirror. Like, I've been writing it everywhere. And part of the reason that I have been writing it everywhere is because, even though that may make it seem like I'm a crazy person, I find that when I'm trying from an ego place or from an ego-centered place to encourage or to rush things or to move things along at a pace that I want, instead, when I direct that attention back to the base of the affirmation, which is trust, I think that's a good way to redirect the attention and to redirect ourselves into that aligning, guiding force. So if you find, or if you know that patience may be something that's hard, write this affirmation wherever you see it. Put it in your car, put it in your freezer, put it everywhere. It doesn't matter where you put it. It's just a good reminder to return to the affirmation when we feel like we want to rush things along, especially when we're talking about the affirmation in regards to the elephant, because the elephant clears our path to the direction that we're supposed to be placed, but it also places obstacles and it puts blockages in the pathway to make that direction and that alignment real. And it may not feel that way. It may feel that this is just a hindrance when in reality it's a gift. But sometimes our ego minds, or even from the most pure of places, we just see something and we want to go that way and we try to force ourselves to go that way. So again, coming back to this affirmation again and again and again, I think will be helpful. At least I know that that's the case for me. But if you have any other ways that you work with it, I would love to hear it. You can always reach out to me on Instagram or email me and tell me the ways that you worked with this affirmation. And that is it for today. That is it for the monthly cards. I hope that this episode gives you a lot to work with. I hope that these energies just allow that beautiful, blooming, radiating energy in you to just go out even more into the external world in whatever direction you're going. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. I would like to thank my Wraiths patrons, Lisa Zimmerman, Bobby McDermott, Deb Guy, and Zach Tate. Thank you. I'm always so grateful for your support, Team Tombstones. So, till next time, dear listener, wild one, Take care. Bye. Thank you for listening and for letting me into your day. If you liked this podcast and you enjoy the content of Tea and Tombstones, please like the show, rate it on iTunes, continue to listen to past and future episodes, and share with someone who would enjoy these fierce discussions. These are the best ways to show your support, and it is greatly appreciated. If you would like to work with me in services of tarot guidance and spiritual allyship, please click the link in the show notes to be directed to my store and services page. Consider becoming a patron so you get an extra card every month, resources for the affirmation, and physical products that coincide with that third monthly card. Finally, come find me and say hi on Instagram. Keep howling, my wild one.